Welcome to the City Point Church podcast. Thanks for joining us. Every day is an opportunity to take hold of. So we hope this message inspires you and builds your faith, that it helps you have more of a God perspective for your day. Enjoy.
You may take a seat. Thank you, team. I love that it is a whole big, huge group of young adult guys this morning. Girls, take note of the great guys in our church. We need you to have eyes to see them, except Chris, who's already taken. Don't have eyes for Chris. Totally inappropriate. I'm allowed to do this as the mum of the house because a mum will seek out great boys and girls for the other boys and girls, right? Mum, you with me? It's really good to have eyes to see the great guys and girls around for your girls and guys. We're talking about this in church. It's okay. It's really okay. It's really okay. The reason why I would do this is, Graham just said we should do planned marriages. Come and meet with us this week. We will happily hook you up. Don't take that out of the edit. Why would I talk about this? You know, Graham was right. 20 years is for us this year being married, which is really exciting. On Valentine's Day, it was 23 years of being together. I would say he asked me out 23 years ago, but it wasn't. It was his sister-in-law who asked me out for him. But that happened 23 years ago, and the truth is I noticed this young man. Yes, you are still young in my eyes. Even though you're 40 next month. I noticed him 24 years ago when this young lady was running a prayer meeting in her school to win her school for Jesus. And I'd been running this prayer meeting for probably about 6 months. And I was really, really, really passionate to see my school won for Jesus. And so each morning before school at about 8 o'clock, I would run this prayer meeting, and it had been going fairly successfully for about 6 months. And then on this particular day, at 8 o'clock in the morning, it was a Wednesday morning, I'll never forget it. I was in the middle of praying already because it had already kicked off. Somebody began to pray in the school prayer meeting. I was year 10 at the time. He was year 11. And Graham began to pray. And it was the first time I ever had eyes to see him legitimately in a prayer meeting. It's really, really an awesome thing when you start to activate the spiritual gifts over your life, because it's not just about the moment, it's about your future. Do you know, on that day, I didn't know it at the time, but I had eyes to see something for my future in the spiritual realm. And so I might joke this morning about girls be seeing our guys, but these guys this morning were activating things in the spiritual realm you should notice. You should notice, this is an incredible, incredible place, the house of God, in which it's not just about the now, it's also about your future and setting up something incredible for your future. Well, I'm really excited to bring the Word of God. As I did unpack last week, this Word was supposed to come out next weekend, but we've decided to bring it out today because we're in this incredible theme, This Is Us, at the moment. And at the beginning of this year, Gray declared over this house an amazing godly principle, but he said it for us in 2020, that this would be known as a house of prayer. This would be known as a house of prayer, which if you start to really think about it, means you will be known as a person who prays because you belong to this house. This is us. And so I'm really excited as we continue to explore what this means for our lives, because what I've really loved as we've begun to unpack this is we're learning new ways in which we can pray. And the reason we would learn new ways is because we have discovered that the same way will get the same result, but for so many of us, we require and desire and want more for our lives. And we don't just require, desire more for our lives, we actually want to make a difference in this community. I said this in our early service, but I have grown up a Christian. I've been in the house of God my whole life, and I've heard the cries, heard the cries of righteous people as they cry out for revival and they cry out for a move of the Spirit. If you were here on Australia Day, you would have heard the prophecy that Smith Wigglesworth brought forth over this nation, that at this time there would be a move of the Spirit of God in this nation, and we will live it, we will see it, we will be part of it. And I know that this actually begins. Every revival in history has begun or been preempted by people who are on their knees in prayer. And so I don't think it's a coincidence that Greg cast this out, because I don't believe that we are about to step into something new. I actually believe we've stepped into it. And if you have this stirring in your spirit like I do, and I know like Gray does, then it requires something different in our prayer life. It requires a couple of things to be shifted, to be audited, to be moved, because we're not going to see a move of God acting exactly the same. It's going to require something different and something new. And so for those of you who weren't here last week, I'd really love to encourage you to grab a hold of the first part of this message, part one of Don't Pray It Safe. And that was in our services last week. You can actually get hold of this on Podbean just after our services. Every single Sunday we put the message up on Podbean so you can go over it through the week. Have it wash over your spirit. Have it explored. For many of the messages, they're on YouVersion, so you can get the notes and pull it apart. I'm really excited to hear, and he found this out just before our pre-service meeting this morning, that our young adults are actually doing the YouVersion devotional at the moment by Craig Rochelle, Dangerous Prayers. Oh, something happens when the next generation gets really excited about prayer. And so we know that we're actually stepped into, we have stepped into this word that was spoken over our nation, but it requires something of us in the spiritual realm. And I say that for a reason, because Ephesians 6:12 says, "For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the power of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms." Our struggles are not against flesh and blood. For many of us, that will mess with our head, because the truth is our struggles in the natural are real and they're not small. Paul said that your life will not be without trial. So the struggle is real in the natural. But I wonder for how many of us, we are dealing with things in the natural that actually need to be dealt with in the spiritual realm to see different consequences in the natural realm. For so many of us, we will see the circumstances and situations for our lives and be dealing with them, speaking about them, operating and acting in the natural to things that are actually spiritual battles to be warred, battled, raged, and won. I say this for a reason. This scripture has very, very specific words it uses about the spiritual realm. It says against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. It even has another translation that says principalities and powers. What this scripture is saying is that the spiritual realm is not of little consequence. It is not a weak force, but it is actually a force to be reckoned with. It is powerful. It is powerful and thus requires our attention. And this is done on our knees. It's done on our knees. For those of you who were here last week, you would have heard the different prayers that we unpacked from the content from Dangerous Prayers from Craig Rochelle. And those prayers were, "Your will be done. Search me, O God, and know my anxious thoughts." These are not safe prayers. These are revealing prayers. These are prayers that do something, shape something, form something within each and every one of us, so that what is done through us is effective. for each and every one of us. I was thinking about this through the week, and I did this in our early service, but with a different couple who were sitting in the exact same seats that they were sitting in the early service. I love this. But in the early service, I spoke to a family who, in our community now, when Graham and I moved to this community 18, 19 years ago, this community looked really different to the way it does today. And it felt really, really different to the way it does today. And I know that a whole bunch of growth has happened to this area. But when Graham and I moved to this area and bought a lovely little property out at Whamuran, I used to take a route to get from my work, which was at Chermside, to home, that went around it. It went around this community. And the reason I used to do that, I'm being really honest here, is because I would often say to friends who were in my church who were not from this community but further away, I used to say I might live there, but I'm not from there. Some of you have heard me say that before. And the reason I would say this is because when Graham and I moved to this area, I saw and I felt the poverty of this area. It was evident everywhere you go. When you drove down the middle of the Morayfield Road, when you were on King Street, it was seen in every business with lease signs across the door, with signs, all the signage down the roads that had been pulled down, painted over, or faded out. And I remember looking at it and thinking, this area is really stung by this spirit of poverty, which is exactly what it is. So I remember very clearly when God called us to minister in this area that it would be to minister in an area that I'd claimed I was not from, even though I lived here. Not long after I began to serve in this area, an incredible girl came to serve me here voluntarily for many, many years. And she was so gorgeous, absolutely full of grit, full of tenacity and fight. But what she used to say, unlike the other girls who used to come and serve me, is, I'm not here to lighten your load, I'm here to fight with you. And that was Sarah Wanahoe. And I honoured her in our early service. But as I've been preparing these messages, this family has come to my mind so many times. Sarah and Jarrett and Jay and Joel. You've been on my spirit the whole time. Because around that time, these boys went into business, these brothers of this area. And what happened is natural decisions were made for families. But what they may not realize is spiritual ground has been being taken for this community as you faithfully, sacrificially served it in what you have. And what I saw, if it's okay, I'm just going to speak into these guys for just a moment. Is that all right, church? That's what we do. What I saw was like Abraham, where he had so much wealth that God had blessed him with, so much wealth that the land in which he was planted in could not contain or sustain the wealth that flowed through. For you guys, this is the case. What you may have, actions you may have taken in the natural, and I know I've heard off your lips, that you took action for your family so that future generations in your family would no longer be under the poverty of this area. You have taken ground for our community. I shared with Jarrett after the service that God moved me from Abraham to Boaz. I'm prepping a message for way down the track, and yet God showed me exactly the same. Like Boaz, you will be known as an integrous man. Jarrett will be known as an integrous man in business whose wealth is so far-reaching that when the widows and the orphans come and glean from what you cast off, their lives will be incredibly blessed. Can we just stretch our hands out to these guys, and we're going to just pray. Father, right now we just pray for Jay and for Joel and the Wanahoe family. We thank you, God, for the ground they have taken in the spiritual realm when what they have thought they've done is a change to the natural. God, we stand with them as their church body as you bless them, give them favor, give them strategy, give them ideas. Would you pour out a spiritual anointing on these boys as they've stepped out in faith in business, cover their homes, cover their children, God, and pour your blessing out on them. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I also had a word which I felt to give Sarah and Jarrett for Ezra and the same for Zeke. Because of it, the blessing will be found in an Isaac. Your future generation will carry laughter and freedom and blessing far beyond what you've ever encountered. And it'll be found in your sons. There's incredible favor over your family. Come on, let's give glory to God right now. The reason I would speak this in the service of what's been going on in my spirit is because each and every one of us has different spheres in which God has placed us. Every single one of us has a call and a mandate and a purpose. There is not one person who's walked into this service today who is here of no consequence. You have been planned. You have been chosen. You have been purposed. If you do not pick up the mantle for your life, it is not done. There is something that God has called uniquely you to. He requires just you to do. Yes, it looks different to the person sitting beside you, but the call and plan is unique to you, and He needs you to do it. And this is what I do know, is that what happens when we each pick up the call and plan for our life, we push back. We push back the forces of darkness. The ground that has been taken for generations, when we get activated, when we start to walk out the plan and purpose that God has on our life, we push back in the spiritual realm the forces of darkness. And I don't know about you, but I am ready to fight for our community. I have seen and known freedom in my life, but I am not content to keep it to myself. When I walk through our shopping center, I can believe, I can see that this blessing, that this prosperity, that this favor is for them, just as it has been displayed in my life. Can you believe it for that too, church, right now? And so what I know is that this fight is not against flesh and blood. The circumstances you're going through right now might have natural ramifications, but I'm telling you that the battle that is happening behind it in the spiritual realm is a force to be reckoned with that has to and requires from each and every one of us more than what we have done in the past. When I was just 12 years old, as required school reading, my school gave us the book by Frank Peretti, Piercing the Darkness. And for those of you who've ever read this book, it absolutely changed and shaped the way I saw the spiritual realm. For those of you who've never read this, I really encourage you. It's a book that you can get. There is actually two of them, This Present Darkness and Piercing the Darkness. They're two books that go together, and it's a great, easy, fictional novel, but it actually talks about a town, and it's from two perspectives. It's from the natural perspective and then what's going on in the spiritual perspective at the same time. And it gave me eyes to see that both are running all the time, never ceasing. The spiritual realm doesn't go to sleep. In actual fact, when we go to sleep in the natural, the spiritual realm keeps going. And so each and every one of us require channels open with the Holy Spirit and the Father God to be dealing in the spirit even when we're resting in the natural. And so it brings me to three more prayers today. Three types of prayers that each and every one of us, if we're willing to step into something new, to be more influential, to shape our world for good and for God, there are three more prayers I'd love to unpack this morning. And number one is a really big, very dangerous, unsaved prayer. It is, God, would you break me? It's fine to pray for safety and blessings, but what if you want more? What if you desire power from the Holy Spirit, strength from heaven, unshakable faith, genuine intimacy with Father God? Instead of just asking God to keep you safe, give you more, protect your life, you may have to ask God to break you. The truth is, many of us never actually pray this prayer for fear of the consequences. It may be the shortest route to wholeness and righteousness, but it's also through the toughest terrain. We tend to, as believers, love to take the easier, gentler, scenic route when it comes to our prayer life with God. But my question then remains the same for all of us today. What are we losing by clinging to our comfort? What are we missing out on because we're so committed to avoid pain or discomfort? Jesus said this in Matthew 16:25, "For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will find it." Jesus isn't inviting us to a life of comfort and of ease, but one of surrender and of sacrifice. Our highest desire should be for our will to be, not for our will to be done, but for His will to be done in our lives. And Jesus is inviting us to die to our own lives so that we can live moment by moment, day by day for Him. To leave our cozy living rooms and safe prayers in order to know what it means to be broken for the sake of others. By playing it safe, we risk missing something far more precious than our security and our comfort. We don't realize what blessings might just be on the other side of God's breaking of each and every one of us. Luke says it like this, "And Jesus took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, 'This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" Almost all the Bible scholars agree that Jesus' instruction to do this provides believers a way to remember, honor, and celebrate His death and resurrection. But some believers believe that Jesus's "do this" also refers to the way we are to live our daily lives. What if Jesus wasn't just talking about the ritual we do in church once a month when we have communion? What if He's also inviting us to be broken and poured out daily? What if we had the courage and the audacity and the faith to pray, "God, break me"? We don't just remember Jesus during communion at church. We remember Him in the way we live our lives daily, because Jesus' body was broken. Because His blood was poured out for us, we should live daily for Him, broken and poured out. This may not sound really appealing at first glance. Who wants to be broken? Any takers this morning? Anybody? Oh, I do have takers. The faithful ones going, "Yes, come on. You've caught the revelation already." I didn't have anybody in the 8:30 service. They just stared at me. Who wants to be broken and poured out? This sounds painful at best and miserable at worst, but it's in the giving of our lives that we find true joy. Rather than pursuing our will, we surrender to His. Instead of trying to fill our lives with all we want, we empty our lives to make a difference in the life of others. True brokenness before God isn't a one-time event. It doesn't just happen at salvation. It's a daily decision. I love Paul's words in 1 Corinthians 15:31. Just three little words. He says it like this: "I die daily." I die daily. What does that mean? Every day he chose to sacrifice his own desires so that he could live fully for God's. If you have the courage to pray this prayer, get ready. Get ready to know God, to be known by God in a way you've never experienced before. You can play it safe, but I'm guessing you want more than that. I want more than that. I choose different. I'm a faith-filled risk taker. That's what I've decided for my prayer life, a risk taker. Are you willing to become a risk taker in the spiritual realm? I will never insult God with small thinking or safe living, safe prayers. If there are blessings on the other side of brokenness, I choose to pray, "God, break me." This posture will not often have you on your feet. I'm letting you know this. When you ask God to break you, you're often beyond your knees or on your face under the weight of it. But what will happen on the other side of it, will be such an incredible work in you that God will so be able to use you in an effective way. Which brings me to point or prayer number two. Really, really powerful prayer. "God, would you send me? Would you send me?" As a pastor for many years now, I have seen firsthand the most intimate of prayer requests. And these come in every single week in multiple ways. As you saw, Pastor Gray had a whole bunch in his hand, people stamping out in faith and asking the church to believe with them, to stand in all sorts of circumstances. They don't just come through on our Sundays. They come through via email, through our app. There are so many ways. And, of course, we get personally messaged all through the week of different things. And I've always found it a real privilege to answer the need, Pastor, will you pray for? I've felt it a real privilege to do so. But even though I consider it an incredible privilege, what I have noticed as I have been receiving these ever since I stepped into ministry is that there is a theme often to what the prayer request is saying. Each week somebody asks that God would heal their loved one from cancer, help a family member find a job, restore broken marriages. Our young people ask for integrity. They ask for God to help them to get into university or a job that they're requiring and to help keep the finance flowing in the house enough to run the car to get them there, which in that first phase of doing all of that at once is always huge. Or they're praying, our young people and youth are praying for their parents' marriages because for many of them they're walking or have walked through divorce. And so the prayer requests vary from each person. Some are praying for spouses, others are helping to asking God to help them forgive somebody for somebody who's hurt them. Even though the requests vary, people are asking God to do something for them or someone they love. God, help me. God, help someone I love. Lord, I need. Father, would you please? God, do something for me. And although these prayers are not unrighteous, they're not ungodly, and they're necessary to bring before God, we should definitely pray this way. We should always invite God's presence and his power and his peace and the miraculous into these moments. We should always lift up our loved ones and remind ourselves of how God can move in their lives. We should seek the Lord for all of our needs, but we should not stop there. That should just be the beginning. Just the beginning. What if instead of asking God just to do stuff for us, if we prayed a dangerous, self-denying prayer of availability to our Heavenly Father? What if we prayed perhaps the most dangerous prayer of all? I'll do it. You can send me. I'll do it. You can send me. Isaiah prayed such a prayer of unreserved availability in the presence of God. The Old Testament prophet retells his encounter with the Holy One when God asked Isaiah in chapter 6, verse 8, when God says, whom shall I send and who will go for us? And without knowing the details, without knowing when nor where, Isaiah prays this stunning, life-altering prayer. Here I am, send me. Here I am, send me. Notice Isaiah doesn't ask for any details. He didn't ask God where or when or what would happen, what were the benefits, what the outcome would be. This is why prayer can feel so dangerous. God, send me, use me. I will be here to be the answer. I'm not asking for the details. I don't need to know the outcome or if it will be easy or difficult or if I will enjoy it or not enjoy it. Because of who you are, my God, my King, my Savior, I trust you, which is really the undercurrent for this prayer. Lord, send me, says, I trust you. I trust you. Because you are sovereign over the universe, I surrender my will, every part of me, take my mind, my eyes, my mouth, my ears, my feet, my motives, my hands, the call of God on my life, and send me, I trust you. God, my answer is yes. Imagine if we pray this way. Are you sick of safe prayers? Because God might actually have the answer to many of the prayers you've just prayed. And they're found within you. Maybe for your family, you're believing for salvation or restored relationship, and he's requiring the, here I am, Lord, send me, intervention. I wonder how many of our prayers he's equipped us with the means to be sent, but has not got the willing people to say, here I am, send me. We come and we bring our requests and God, please, Lord, send Lou. I'm going to admit this. I've done this many, many times. Lord God, would you just talk to Frida about dealing with that for me? I'm being really honest here. Who's prayed that others would do for you? I have prayed that others are. Thank you, Anna, for your honesty. Blessing right there. I have prayed many, many times, God, would you send someone, anybody? But I've not yet prayed, here I am, send me. But as a disciple of Christ, I don't think we're being equipped for us to sit and others to do. I think that each and every one of us are being stirred to step out of our comfort zones, to pray dangerous prayers, to step into something new because he wants to use you, because he's equipped and purposed you to be somebody else's answer. Which brings me to our final one this morning. And it's a dangerous prayer. It's a really dangerous prayer because for many of our lives, we have them quite ordered. In actual fact, when I was younger, my personality is a sanguine choleric. When I was younger, I would drop everything for a party. So the sanguine, for those of you who don't know it, is the party animal. We are the presence at a party. And the choleric, which is also the other great part of my personality, plans the party. They are the organized person. So I am the party planner who will party at the party. It's true. When I was younger, the sanguine part of my personality would drop the choleric for the sake of the party. But when I became a mum, my choleric part of my personality totally dominated my sanguine, where I can organize the heck out of organizing to the point that I'm so organized I'm stressed about organizing. It's true. My husband's agreeing with that point of all the points in the message. But here's the thing. I love this prayer because it disturbs the control I have over my life when I'm organizing it. And the prayer is, God, would you disturb me? Would you interrupt my plans? Would you interrupt me? Would you call for my attention and disturb my world? What we pray about is important. Not only is it important, it is also revealing of our lives. The content of our prayer tells us more about us and our relationship with God than what most people imagine. What we pray for reflects what we believe about God. If most of our prayers are for ourselves or what matters to us, then the content of our prayers communicates that we believe deep down that God exists primarily for us. So this morning, let's just take a moment. I'm going to ask us to do something in this service. I love to do unusual things in services. So I'm going to ask us to do a bit of a prayer audit on our last week's prayer. Now, we've been talking about prayer in the house of God, so I know you've been praying. I know you're stirred to pray. Maybe you exercised some of last week's prayer this week. All right? Over the last 7 days, I'm going to ask you, would you consider what you prayed for? Just right now, recall it to memory. Be honest. Do you remember what you prayed about? What did you ask God for? If God said yes to every prayer that you prayed last week, how does your world look different now? And how does others' worlds look different now? I'm just kind of wondering, being really honest here, who had really blessed meals this week? Me too. I've been having blessed meals for a long time. Who arrived safely? Who found a car park? I'm being legit here because this is the things we pray for, right? Who got a great car park this week? Who had a blessed day? Yeah. Who has safe children this week? Right? Right. For years, before I did any prayer audits, the results would have been really disappointing in my life. For the truth is my waistline is growing for the amount of blessed meals. I should stop praying for blessed meals and instead pray for good water or something. I'm being legit. It's something that maybe we haven't considered, but have you considered that the prayers that you've prayed for the last 7 days are shaping your life? They're shaping who you are. They're shaping the world you're living in. And so I'm wondering if there is anybody here willing to do an honest prayer audit this morning on your world to see if there is something other than a growing waistline because of blessed meals. And I might use humor here to say it, but the truth is I have prayed those prayers for many years, thanked God for my car park that's only in the first aisle and not the second aisle at shopping centers. But the truth is I want more. I don't walk over the shopping center and the first thing on my mind should not be a prayer about where my car is parked, but rather how many people could actually meet Jesus because I'm walking into that space. Could you grab that same desire today? Your workplace, could it not be that maybe you are praying for increase in prosperity over your world because of maybe a pay rise or favor with clients? But could it in fact actually be that people in your workspace, clients that you are dealing with, students that you are dealing with, might actually encounter Jesus Christ because you are in that space? I think this is happening. I think this happens when we actually say, God, would you disturb my thoughts? Would you disturb my agendas? Would you disturb the things that I am concerned about so that I'm actually focused on the things you're concerned about? That I see the reason why you have me there. That you see the reason. You know, I was chatting this over with Graham throughout the week because I brought forward a verse from the Bible last week that is so challenging for each and every one of us, and it's the verse about our heart being deceitfully wicked. And I wrestled with this when I started to study this out, because the truth is for many of us, like how incredible She Rescue Project, if you really read the content and you hear the girls' stories, you can be so overwhelmed with the bigness and the largeness of it that you go, oh, it's too much. I'm just not going to do any of it. Right? No different than if you take up the challenge to lose some weight, because it's really, really hard that sometimes we get to the end of day, no, not even that far, the hour, 3 hours into the first day, that we go, it's just too big to deal with, so I won't do it at all. And the reason I pondered this same concept around this verse is if our heart is deceitfully wicked, who can know it? Are we too far gone that we just don't do anything about it? And then I read this incredible verse. It's found in Ephesians 1, verse 17 to 18. It says, then the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of Him, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which He has called you. I understood with this one verse that we can actually have the eyes of our heart, that place that the Bible also refers to as deceitfully wicked, we can have them enlightened in wisdom and knowledge of Him. In wisdom and knowledge of Him. And so for each and every one of us who sits here this morning, there will be areas in our life that we do not see. They are areas in which we are deceived. The Bible says that we have deception in our heart and we do not know it. However, when we open communication with God, we can pray that He disturbs us and that He opens the eyes of our heart to see these things in our own lives. And so we can ask Him to get in. Search our hearts, know them, break us, mold us, make us. But you have to pray prayers like disturb my thoughts so that I do not act the way I always have in my deception that I'm unaware of, that I'm operating in. But rather, would you give me eyes to see? Would you enlighten the eyes of my heart that they may see my areas of brokenness and deception? And so that the Holy Spirit, with this channel that is open between us and the heavens, He can come and He can do a good work. That He can do a good work. So it is not a lost cause. There is hope for our hearts. But it comes with a prayer, God, would you disturb me? God, would you arrest me? Disturb me? Get in on this. If you truly want to make a difference on earth, you need the power of heaven. And that comes for those of you who were here at our prayer meeting the other night, last weekend. You would have heard Gray talking about a courtroom. I love this, and I can't wait to have this unpacked over the next 12 months as just unpacks what happens in the spiritual realm when we come understanding that there is a judge, a father, and an accuser. I was talking to Graham about this morning. For in my studies of prayer and the spiritual realm, I've begun to unpack something that I was like, wait a minute, I've missed this for all my years. I've often read Job's story as a unique story to him. That there is a moment in history in which Satan, the accuser, saw a righteous man and went to God, the judge, was asked, where have you been? I've been going to and fro, and I have seen your servant Job. And then has challenged God that what he sees is only because of the favor and protection of God over Job's life. What I asked Gray this week to help me understand, because I can't find it in the Word of God, is that Job's is not a unique story. It is not just his. The courtroom is always open and the accuser is always accusing. You and I actually live this in the spiritual realm daily. So what it requires of us, because Job's story is not unique, it doesn't say somewhere in the Bible like it did after the flood, and I will never, ever again do this to somebody's world. The reason we pray like a courtroom is because the accuser is always before the Father, making accusations about each and every one of us, trying to render us ineffective, locked up in prisons of our brokenness. But there is a witness, there is a mediator. And this happens. Our mediator goes to the Father when we open channels of communication and we pray. He goes on our behalf. He goes on our behalf. He goes on. Are you grateful he goes on your behalf? This is happening in the Spirit all the time. But we can get really active in this and take ground in the spiritual realm. We can get active in this and take ground in the spiritual realm. I don't know if you're hearing this, but I'm not content with these four walls. They're lovely. I love the worship. I love the word. I love the people. I love the brothers and sisters, but I'm not content because we've been called, each and every one of us, to pray dangerous prayers, because there are many more who are supposed to know the goodness, the glory, the saving grace, the mercy of Jesus Christ. And it is each and every one of us, because of our relationship with God, that will get a burden, a passion, a desire for that, for the world. Because when we pray, we very quickly become aware that it is not about us, but rather about Him. And His plan, His agenda, is to have relationship with everyone. Everyone. So what I'm going to ask this morning, as you close your eyes and bow your heads, I'm going to actually pray for each and every one of us this morning, but I'm going to ask you to do something purposeful. I'm going to ask if anything has spurred you, inspired you, awakened your spirit over the last two weekends as we've unpacked what dangerous prayers look like. If you are willing to step into the new, if you are willing to take on the challenge to pray bold, audacious, life-changing prayers, not just for yourself but for others, I'm going to ask you to stand right where you are. Right where you are, if you're like, that's me, no longer can I remain the same in my spiritual communication with God, I'm going to stand today making a public declaration between me and God that there is going to be power found in my prayer life, that there is going to be a rawness and authentic nature in my prayer life, that I am going to bear all to Him so that He can completely fill those areas. If that is you, would you stand right where you are? We're going to make a bold declaration this morning and say, that's me. That's me. I'm not content any further. to operate or walk this life praying safe prayers, I'm going to take some ground in the spiritual realm by taking back this area of my spiritual life. For all of you that have stood right now, I'm going to pray, would you agree with me in this prayer this morning as we make a declaration as a house that this will be a house of prayer, that this will be a house of prayer, an effective, fervent house of prayer, and it begins with us. Father, right now I pray for each person who has stood with a boldness this morning to say they are not content anymore to pray the same safe prayers. But they step up, stand up, step up, and step into a fresh new revelation relationship with you as they open the channels of communication in the rawest, realest, most authentic ways as they pray prayers like, search me, God, know my anxious thoughts, break me, mold me, make me, send me, disturb me. Grab my attention when I've got my own agenda. Would you arrest it? I pray, God, right now that you would begin to speak. For so many here, I just got a word that when you step into this, you're going to hear the voice of God like you've never heard it before. There is somebody here that for over 20 years you have desired to hear the voice of God. And now is the time because of your faith as you have stepped up and said, yes, I choose to pray in a different way. I choose to get vulnerable. I choose to surrender in this area. You are going to hear the voice of God so clearly it's actually going to disturb your thoughts. He's going to disturb your thoughts. Father, I pray right now that your word goes out, speaks to spirits, and that you are the loudest voice for these people who have chosen to not remain the same. Bless them. Bless them as they step into this new with you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, amen. As all eyes are closed, I'm going to ask everybody to jump to their feet right now. We're about to finish our services, but I would hate to move on without asking a really important question. You know, I've spoken today about having communication really raw and authentic with your Heavenly Father. But do you know we can do it really raw and authentic because when He looks at your life, what He sees, He loves. And that's regardless of what you've done over your life. That's regardless of the choices that you have made. Yes, some of them may have broken people's hearts around you and even broken His heart. But not enough for Him to change the way He loves you. Not enough to change the way He sees you. Not enough to make Him turn His face from you. In actual fact, His face is toward you. He is for you. He loves you. And He wants a relationship with you. And so what I want to ask is if you this morning would love to come into relationship with Him. If you would love to know God as your Father. That can happen today with a simple decision. Simple decision. Nobody's looking around. Everybody's eyes are shut. But I would love to pray with you this morning. And so if that is you this morning, whether you're making this decision for the very first time or you're making this for the 100th time because you feel like you've not been walking in relationship as closely as what you should, I'm going to ask you just to quickly slip up your hand and I will see it. I want to pray with you this morning while nobody's looking around. Just slip your hand up and I'll see it. I see your hand. Thank you. I see your hand. Thank you. You made an incredible decision. I see your hand. I see your hand. Thank you. You have made an incredible decision. Is there anybody else? I see your hand. Thank you. I see your hand. Is there anybody else as I look across this morning? Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. We're going to pray this morning. Believers, can I ask you to just pray right now? For those who made this decision, would you take this prayer? I'm going to pray as your prayer. We're going to stand with you as a church body because we do this together. We celebrate with you today. This is the greatest decision you've ever made. Come on, let's pray. Father, right now, you didn't just see hands go up. You saw hearts open up to you. I pray right now that you would fill those hearts to overflowing with your Spirit, with your love, with your peace, with your power, with your might, with your overwhelming presence, God. I pray right now that this is a defining moment for each and every one of these guys. As they slip their hand up, that they opened their heart to you, that you come in as their Savior and take over their worlds. Would you shape them and mold them and make them into the beautiful, beautiful people that you designed them to be? Speak to them purpose. Speak to them destiny. Speak to them about the call of God that you have on their life. Heal them and make them the incredible creations that you designed for them. I pray, Father, that your presence is felt by them in the most overwhelming way. And we stand and celebrate with them this morning the choice they have made to follow you as their Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Come on, let's give God some praise right now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You have made an incredible decision. For those of you who made that decision,